Psalm 68, and we're going to read but one verse this evening. Psalm 68 and verse 18. And the scripture says, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Before we go further, let's turn our hearts to the Lord and ask Him to meet with us and to speak to us from the Word. Our Father and our God, now this evening we come to Thee in Jesus' name. It is our prayer that Thou will bless this time, bless the Word of God, allow it to be used of the Spirit to direct us away from ourselves and to be brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we would pray that Thou would speak to us directly. May we hear Your voice. May we know Your work in our hearts. May we know that we are those who are meeting with the very Prince of Life. And Lord, we pray that Thou will bless us then. Do a work that meets the needs of our own souls this night, we pray, as we look into the Word of God and as we take it as Your Word to us. And to this end, we pray the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse that we are taking as our text this evening that we have read is a prophetical account of the victory that Christ would experience by the resurrection of His body from the grave. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. There's the breaking of the power of death. There are the words that speak of His completely breaking the hold that death had upon all that were His as that stone was rolled away. Indeed, we see in that very wording that the victory of the Lord Jesus over death secured everlasting life for all that were in union with Himself. The grave now has lost its sting. Indeed, we might say, what a host of glories are attached to His triumph over death. Our text also goes on to disclose that there were even greater triumphs by the person of the Lord Jesus. He was not resurrected for the purpose of restoring life to Himself, nor did He continue to walk the face of this earth as if that in itself was a great glory of His victory. Rather, this verse, indeed our subject this evening, speaks of the complete acceptance by God for the work that He had done and how that sealed to His people every beneficial gift that was covenanted between Father and Son. He was taken back to heaven in bodily form to receive gifts for men, the Scripture says, all those things that the Father had prepared to bestow. We might ask the question, what had the Father had prepared to bestow? Well, we know that the Father had prepared life and the graces of God, but beyond that, the Scripture tells us plainly, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man those things that God hath prepared for them that fear Him, that trust in Him, that are His own. The Lord Jesus was crowned that day of His reception with all the honor and glory that heaven could afford. Yet further, as He sat down to receive all that the Father had within His heart to give Him, He also received the Father's gifts for all that were in union with Himself. Again, I want you to see this. The Lord Jesus received his rightful glory. He received that honor as the one who had fulfilled the will and the pleasure of the Father. The Lord Jesus was exalted, but he went also to receive gifts for men. I say here is a wonderful twofold contemplation. Christ in glory, and Christ in glory for me. But in some ways, this is not the most amazing thought that might be gleaned from this passage. There is something here that we find that is greatly surprising. And that surprise is found in the little phrase that the psalmist inserts merely as an affirmation. Yet what a thought it is. He says that the Lord Jesus went back to receive gifts for men. Then there's this phrase, yea, for the rebellious also. What a revelation. This phrase is spoken in conjunction with the most glorious event in the history of mankind, the Lord Jesus being raised from the dead. He goes back to glory to receive his glory, to receive gifts for men, but to receive gifts also for the rebellious. Indeed, this phrase indicates that the Lord Jesus went back to heaven that he might gain the gifts of God, not for a perfect people, but for those who had turned their backs on the glory of his work and his person. Did man accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Some did, but the Scripture says he came unto his own and his own received him not. For the most part, men were still rebellious against the one who had come in the name of the Lord. He received all the glories won at Calvary for a people that the honesty of Scripture must label as rebels. What have we in this statement? Yea, for the rebellious also. What wonders do we see? Well, my subject this evening is simply this. God's mercy and grace is plainly not shut up for just a few deserving among men. But God's grace and mercy is meant for the sinful and the rebellious. I want us to think on this phrase. I want that phrase to be our text. I want us to think on just a couple of points here this evening, and we'll be done. First, I want us to see that in these words is an honest assessment. It is an honest assessment. The first thing that we must admit on the whole issue is how correct the assessment is of our character. Where are you, ye rebels? Where are those who have lived in open rebellion against their God all their lives? You and I must, with all honesty, answer the question, here's the rebel. Here's the defier of God. Right here. It's within me. I am that one who by my thoughts and my acts has long and loudly rebelled before the face of God. Yes, it is each of us. So I point out to you in the first place that rebellion is in the heart of every man. Rebellion is in the heart of every man. Who among us can say, I am righteous? We would immediately come up against that verse. There is none righteous. No, not one. Who is there that would seek after the face of God and say, I am such? Well, the Bible tells us there's none that seeketh after the Lord. I walk in the straight and narrow. I go the way that is only right. But the Scripture tells us, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. All of us must say that we have spoken against the Lord with our tongues. All of us must admit that we have raged against him in our hearts. We have broken his law, which calls for purity, truth, and honesty. In fact, let's just be honest. How many of the words that I'm about to present to you describe the truth regarding our hearts? Proud, unbelieving, unjust, slothful, full of anger, envious, fleshly, willful, sinners against the light. They're all true of us. That's who we are. And the wrath of God abideth upon such. That's who we are and were. Every one of us is so. We are those who are extreme in our love of self, and just as extreme in our hatred of any restraints upon our sinfulness. I wish we could be honest about these things. We are sinners, we are rebellious, and I will tell you plainly that that description and those words are the only credits that we have to our account. Rebellion is in the heart of every man. Second, I would point out to you, rebellion is the only state in which the Savior finds us. We are not those who are sitting in nobility. We are not those who are mostly good, just having some small defects to our character or to our personalities. We are those that when the Savior looks upon us are in the throes of rebellion. And yet, it was when we were in such a case that Christ died for us, Romans 5 and 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, or we could put the word rebels there, while we were sinister rebels, defiers of God, flaunting our sin in the face of God, while we were yet that way, and Christ saw us as being that, he died for us. Oh, that the Lord had found a soft and pliable heart when he came to save any of us. But the truth is, when the Lord came to save us, he found angry rebellion. That's what we were. Now, we might desire to claim that we were really loyal and loving subjects to our King. Surely we were the ones who were waving the palm branches and singing, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That was really us. No. We were like the Pharisees. Who is this that causeth such a stir? Who is this one that makes me uncomfortable with my sin? How dare he? We were rebels. That's how the Lord Jesus found us. He didn't find us in any other condition. And sadly, rebellion is the mark upon us that the Lord Jesus notes. And more importantly, that the Father notes when Christ stands before him. The Lord Jesus goes back to glory after he had risen from the dead. And it says there that the Lord gave him gifts not only for men, but for the rebellious also. The truth is, then, that God the Father at the point when Christ stood before him on our behalf, that God the Father looks on you and he looks on me and he says of us, rebel. The Lord knows my rebellion. He sees it fully. There is no masking of the heart before him. He sees us. He sees me for what I am. And when I have to come up before the Lord Jesus, he sees me for what I am. The scripture is very honest in this description of us. We are not hid. We are seen. We are known. We are shown. But also, we are loved. See that the scripture shows that the gifts are given. There's an outpouring of God's heart to us, and there is a reason for that. It is because of the man that has ascended. He is honorable. He is speaking for us. His words are heeded. He has obtained gifts for us based on the merits of who he is. And even though we would stand with Christ before the Father, and the Father would have to look at us and say that we are nothing but the rebellious, the Lord Jesus presents the merits of his person and the merits of his blood and says, Father, give gifts to these. I would point out then the second place we have in this portion of Scripture, an honorable advocate. The scene before the throne is that of Christ standing between the Father and those who are rebels. He stands holding forth his precious blood as the price for the gifts that are to be showered on the embracers of insurrection. Oh, I want you to understand this evening as we look at this portion that the Lord Jesus is the cause of our gifts. The reason that there is any gift from the heart of God that falls to our benighted souls is because the Lord Jesus goes humbly to the Father and asks for it. Period. He puts himself before the Father as our advocate. He put himself previously in the hand of the Father for us when he was made sin. Again, he put himself in the hand of God when death swept over him. Now he pleads his blood for our poor hearts. I don't know that you can overstate what I'm trying to say here. The enormity of the graciousness of Jesus Christ. Though we were the cause of his suffering, we were the cause of all that was put upon him, yet he stands before the Father between us and our God, who would be our judge, and he pleads the merits of his blood and asks for the Father to give gifts to us, that we would be those who would be the possessors of life and all the mercies of God, the loving kindness of the Lord, all the benevolence that the heart of God contains. Let that be upon these that stand with me, he says. Oh, see the message of the Scripture. This portion of Scripture would let us understand categorically that the Lord Jesus succeeded when he presented the merits of his blood. That when he came before the Father and pled for rebels such as you and I, he did not go away without the answer, yes, let it be so. Now, I want you to understand that that is part of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus. Yes, he paid for our sins. He paid the penalty that our sins demanded. But he also petitioned for the blessings that came with a perfect righteousness being imputed. Indeed, I might put it this way. He does not withhold 1 ounce of the least of God's blessings from those who were rebels against him. The words of Luke 12 and 32 are especially wonderful. Two smaller congregations, or to Christians that feel themselves just plain weak. The Lord Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Ah, we're back to the giving of the gifts. Why does the Lord, the Father, give gifts? Because of the Lord Jesus. But again, I would, if you will, allow me to put in one other word. Fear not, rebellious flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is yours. Christ gives you back all that your rebellion has taken from you. But be not mistaken, he is the reason for it all. Again, we might ask the question, well, why does he do so? Here's my second thought. He is the lover of our souls. We are those who spat on him, those who mocked him, those who ran from him, and those who nailed him to the tree. Yet here's the amazing thing. Jesus loves me, this I know. And I would simply say that this one thought, that though I deny him, yet he abideth faithful, that this is a grand hope of all who wrestle under the weight of sin. There is hope for those who have sinned. John Bunyan was a man that showed much of himself in his writing of Pilgrim's Progress. I think a lot of the things that you saw Pilgrim wrestling with were things that Bunyan himself had wrestled with. And it said at one point that Bunyan had feared that he had apostatized. But he makes this comment. I'm just going to read to you a paragraph of something that Bunyan said. While the fear of being put aside because of his great sin was upon him, he says the following: "I feared also that this was the mark that the Lord did set on Cain, even continual fear and trembling under the heavy load of guilt that he had charged upon him for the blood of his brother Abel. Then did I wind and twine and shrink under the burden that was upon me, which burden did so oppress me that I could neither stand nor go nor lie, either at rest or at quiet. Yet that saying would sometimes come into my mind, 'He hath received gifts for the rebellious.' Rebellious, thought I, why, surely they are such as once were under the subjection to their prince. Even those who, after they had sworn subjection to his government, have taken up arms against him. And this, thought I, is my very condition. Once I loved him, feared him, served him, but now I am a rebel, and I have sold him. I said, 'Let him go if he will.' But he has gifts for rebels. And then, why not me?" Why not me? The Lord Jesus gives gifts to those that are the rebellious. Are you rebellious tonight? You'd have to say, "Yes, Lord. Yea, Lord, in so many things, in so many ways. And the burden is upon my heart and upon my mind. How rebellious I show myself in so many ways." But has he not gifts for the rebellious? Has he not gifts of forgiveness and gifts of cleansing, gifts of renewal, gifts of the Holy Ghost? Gifts of the grace of God, whereby the phrase may be said over me, and such were some of you, but now ye are washed, now ye are justified. Are these not the gifts that the Lord gives to his people? Yes, he does. Although I am a rebel, why not me? The truth of the matter is that Christ loves us and has obtained gifts for us. But what gifts? What are they that he holds in his hands to us? Well, here I want you to think with me on the last thought. There is a heavenly awarding. Here is a heavenly awarding. Again, we looked at the gifts. I mentioned some of them just a moment ago. What are these gifts, these wondrous things? Well, let me say this. Does the glory that is attached to the gifts that the Lord gives matter? You know, sometimes we get caught up with counting the blessings, counting the benefits of being the Lord's people, so much so that we forget the Lord himself. I say the gifts and the glory that would come to our souls, or the enjoyment just simply of the gifts for the gift's sake, I say they don't matter. Even though we have been given all things, we are given a life everlasting and mercy and grace and peace. But I want you to see the most astounding thing of all, that though you and I are rebels, the Lord Jesus gave us himself. I am his, and he is mine. Forever, there is now a relationship with Christ. Forever now, there is a bond, as if the marriage bond. There is that union with Christ. He has given us himself. Though we were the rebellious, he has interposed his precious blood. I love that statement from that old hymn. And Jesus interposed his precious blood. He put it between us and God, whereby now the wrath of God is turned aside. But more than that, now to us flows all the gifts of the divine heart, not in half, but in whole. My thought to you this evening is simply this. Though you would this night have to say, Lord Jesus, this is a character that I have to admit to so often, I point you back to Bunyan's sentiment. Why not me? Why not me? Lord, I have been these ways, but I come and I present myself and ask for that cleansing. Why not me? What's the Lord's word to those who would say, why not me, and do come to him? But as many as received him, to them gave he the privileges, the rights, the gifts of the sons of God. Those who are able to be called the sons of God. To the rebellious also. Well, may the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, tonight we pray that thou wilt bless the word. We pray that thou wilt let the Lord Jesus be magnified in the hearts of those for whom he shed his blood and for whom he stood before the Father, naming their names, calling them his own. Lord, we pray that thou wilt let us know the benefits of the ministry of Christ as our advocate to be applied to our hearts even this night. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.